Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg, and this is Side Note,
a podcast where every episode we chat about life and what's stumping us right now.
And then we research and splice in all the science and mind-blowing shiznit throughout so you are entertained while simultaneously learning.
This week's episode is all about pets. Greg and Mitch have some cute and kind of weird animal stories, including a horrifying incident with Mitch and a horse. We then jump right into the debate where Greg has some mixed feelings about life with a dog. Side notes this week are narrated by me, Rachel. Let's get right into it.
Mitchie, how's your back?
It's broken.
Mitchie hurt his... You have back problems. It sucks.
Yeah, I have chronic back problems. It really sucks. I've had...
It's like the worst thing.
Yeah, it's fully debilitating. And I remember... almost the first time I've had this same problem, like almost since I've known you. I remember studying in university on campus and just having a back spasm in the same spot I have this problem to now. And it just like randomly.
In what, a kinesiology class or something?
No, we were just studying, like we weren't in class. We were just like on campus studying for
me?
An exam.
I was right there?
Right before an exam. And I just remember having my back spasm, and like it was the first time that muscle ever did that. And ever since, like every so often, maybe it's once a year, maybe it's once every 3 years. Now, more recently in my life, it's been more frequent. It'll just like freak out, spasm, and I'll be like, I can't really function physically properly for like a week or two.
And it's so annoying because right now you're in the early stage of like getting the pain where it's kind of like, when's it going to happen? We're going to fully throw your back out, and then all your plans are ruined. Like, we're supposed to go to a cottage with our friends.
It's so annoying because sometimes it'll happen if I like move the wrong way, and then it'll twitch and it'll go out, and that like makes more sense. But this time it like kind of gradually started building up. Like a few days before I felt the most pain, it was like nothing really specifically triggered it, except for maybe being on a mattress that was not my own, that was kind of like harder than normal.
Harder than normal?
And ooh, something else that's going to tie into today's story. Should we just like bring up story time and we can mention it?
Okay.
It's story time.
Story time.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
I love just like messing with you because I know you like I'm love like singing and having a good voice. I'm like, I'm going to make
like,
it awful.
Where's your note? Find the note.
I like when my notes are actually okay.
Okay. Story time today is all about pets because we got a puppy. We have a new dog, and I'm going to quickly mention to tie it into my back that I've been picking it up so much.
Oh my gosh,
and it's been growing so fast that I actually think that has led to a weakness in my back that then with the combination of a crappy bed might have just like triggered something.
I totally agree. My back is like, I don't have back problems, and sometimes I'm like, my back hurts because I'm always like, Ernie, come up here. I want to make out. We tongue each other. We just make out.
Oh, Greg, this was a rule. Before me and Greg got a dog, the rule, Greg used to make weird sex jokes about dogs. Yeah? You can defend yourself.
Well, we have a recent ASAP Science video about bestiality viral. Went viral. People are into bestiality.
I guess they were jokes, but I made a rule that if we were going to get a dog, no, the rule was actually if you ever want to have kids, then you can't have to stop making sex jokes.
Okay, and then also,
and if we get a dog, you can never make those jokes in front of or any time in your life.
This is a making out with our dog, which you do too. That's different than sexually having sex with the dog.
I don't make out with our dog. I just...
You are like, always like, kisses, tongue. That is, I don't know what making
you're
that is to you, but
messed in the head.
Okay, anyways, my point was that the rule was that I wouldn't make any more jokes about having sex with dogs if you didn't make any more jokes about not wanting kids, but you still say you don't want kids.
Yeah, but
different
those aren't jokes.
Episode. I know, we have to break up. It's really, actually, it's dark. But like, we need to figure that I want kids.
How many times be, in this podcast?
I'm a Neil Patrick
like
Harris gay. Okay, deal with it. I want kids.
Oh wow.
I'm just kidding. I don't. I'm not that.
So let's talk about the day we got Ernie, because I remember you were like kind of scared and freaking out. And I feel like you had a perspective on getting a puppy that I hadn't really thought of until it happened, which was like,
you hadn't thought of that?
No, I guess I had, but I've grown up with dogs, so to me it's like such a cute, beautiful thing. So Greg's perspective was like, you know, you're literally stealing it from its mother when it's like a young little thing, which is totally true. But I never really like when I got dogs when I was younger, I wasn't old enough to really comprehend that that was.
Would you
happening.
Go with your parents to steal said dog from mother, or did they bring
no,
the puppy
they brought
home?
Them home.
Yeah, smart.
But also, I don't know that. I think a lot of people, including people who are old and mature, just don't think of it that way. They just go like, this is so cute, we're getting our dog, and they don't think about.
They don't look over at the adorable mother who has these eyes of like, that's my kid.
But like, that's you projecting onto a dog as well.
Projecting what? The
her
truth?
Beautiful eyes looking at
it was
her.
Really cute. Like, I mean, she had just been breastfeeding it, right?
Yeah, but I don't, this is something we need to look up, because I've been convincing myself, I'm like, well, dogs like naturally would have left their mothers at a certain age to go and be lone wolves, so it doesn't matter, like they would have left their mom anyway. That's what I like kind of rationalize in my own brain. I don't know if that's true at all. I don't know if wolves do that. I don't know if any animal does that.
When a wolf leaves its natal pack, it becomes a lone wolf. Biologists refer to this process as dispersal. In most cases, dispersal happens 1 to 2 years of age when a wolf becomes sexually mature. This may occur due to aggression from a pack's dominant wolves. When food resources are low, weaker wolves won't be able to compete with alpha wolves for nutrition, so they might leave the pack and go it on their own. But to be clear, this is a rare behavior. Only 15% of wolves become lone wolves, because in general, they are really social animals and they like to be in packs. So what can I say? Wolf Ernie might have left his mom and fam behind, but more likely he would have wanted to chill with them. But Ernie isn't a wolf. He is a puppy. And unlike wolves, dogs have a special relationship with humans, which we will get into a bit later.
I love how you even think and are like comparing this golden retriever puppy to a wolf. Like, if it's like this thing is
like
so,
he's so
dead.
Pathetic.
So pathetic. So dead. So dead. Dead.
But you know
dead.
What I mean? Like, a lot of animals grow and breastfeed, like mammals, and then they move on.
Okay.
And they leave their parents.
You can't deny that you're stealing. Okay, so I was nervous because I'm like, I don't know, a realistic person with a brain and knew what I was doing, which was going to choose which dog I was going to raise as my own, even though, in fact, I did not ejaculate into another dog and create a baby.
Okay, enough with the sex jokes.
Okay, yeah. Anyways, my point is that we were nervous. I was more nervous with that. I thought I was going to be more sad. Like, maybe, like, I was going to break down and, like, cry like a Disney movie, like, Fly Away Home or something. Like, it's sad what you're doing.
It's not that sad.
It is, but I did get sad, but it was only after when we were driving home. I was like silent and I felt, because he was like whining.
No, you
for
got
his
sad
mom.
Before that. So we got there. The property we went to, it's like, it was a breeder. And so there were lots of dogs. There's another story in here, is that we did adopt a dog in the past, but it did not work out. And so one day we'll tell that story. It's kind of personal, but we decided to go. Well, just briefly. Okay, I'll mention this because some people get upset when they're like, oh, you went to a breeder. To be honest, what happened was with our adopted dog, it got really physical and violent and attacked us. And I sort of had like some PTSD from those experiences. And for me, I really was like, I want to go with a puppy. And my family grew up with a golden retriever.
Well, and you also, I think, wanted to go with we wanted to adopt a dog, and we did the best research that we could. I think I also want to say this story.
Okay.
So we decided to adopt a dog from, I don't even think it's worth saying the organization.
No, I don't want to like shame. Like,
because it's not, okay, the reason I don't actually like telling this story is that it works out well
for
most
so many
of the
people.
Time,
yeah.
And it sucks
that's
that
why
we are people who like have a platform and it didn't. So
yeah, I don't want to, yeah, I think neither of us want to make it sound like adopting is not the best and
it is
most
the best,
amazing option.
It is
option.
The best and most amazing
yeah.
option, in my opinion. So we got a dog that like flew here from Greece. I guess it was a street dog. It was a big dog. It was named Happy and the thing. And it was like, this is literally.
And to clarify,
the
organization just had a connection to Greece. So they were, a lot of dogs are stray dogs there. And
yeah.
they bring them
and
over
and
try and find
so
homes for
them.
And
we met so many other dogs that literally came on the plane at the exact same time that didn't have families and stuff. And
yeah.
Okay, I'm going to jump ahead. So we went also in the time when a lot of these like pretty very violent attacks were happening. We went to like the organization's like picnic, and there were so many dogs, including the ones that we saw get off the plane at the same time, who, you know, talking to the parents, they were like, oh, the you know, it vomits in the car, but other
right.
than that, it's
That's
a little
like
scared
the worst
of dogs.
Issue,
like,
yeah.
Hearing all the other stories from the other people talking about their dogs really made me realize we were just so unlucky, and this mm-hmm. dog was extremely, in my, I loved this dog. I'd never had a dog before, and the bonding experience that I was able to have with it, it makes me so sad to this day, because it was, it mentally, like, it was a great dog, but then it would turn, it would get red eyes, and it would, like, physically make us, like, literally attack us so
awfully.
Yeah,
like, I have scars on my arm from it.
And they do think now
And it
that,
was a big, he was a really big dog, like, 75 or 80 pounds.
Yeah, and I think they also realize now that it's, like, he needs to live on a farm, and it's just
yeah,
wasn't the right
situation.
Yeah, what
happened was, with the agency, we had all decided, okay, let's bring him to, like, a facility that's, like, a rehab. And have him work with someone and see what happens. And it's been, I think, a year now, and he's actually still there. So there was a time when we thought, you know, maybe if he recovers, that might be an option. But also there was a lot of, like, fear about, like,
I
having
think
the same
They don't
same
think
dog.
He can live in a house.
Yeah, I think he just is not used to living confined and controlled by people. Anyway, so that's the back
history. But
that's
history. Why I hate telling the story, because that it happens, but rarely.
Really rarely.
And we were able to, thankfully, get the help we needed. It was awful and violent
Yeah,
and
we
scary,
never were,
but we were never
so badly injured that it was really bad, but it was kind of heading there.
Yeah.
Like the last time it attacked me before, it was kind of the last straw was there was like blood and I have a scar from it, and like it was really, really scary for me. So all that to tie into our new dog a year later, through this past year, I've really felt afraid of dogs. Like I have loved
yeah,
dogs unconditionally
so sad,
my
yeah.
whole life, and probably for like in a stupid way, if I see a dog on the street, I want to go pet it. I always ask the owners. But over the last year, I just had this vision of dogs like being really violent creatures and attacking me. And so it made me so sad though. Like I knew I loved dogs, and I was trying to convince myself. And so I had said to Greg, like, if I really do want to get a dog, but I think it needs to be a puppy, and it would be nice if it was a breed that I'm familiar with to just, like, regain trust. And honestly, since we've had him, my whole perspective
helped.
On dogs has changed. Like, I don't have that. My instinct as the default dog now is Ernie, our dog.
Yeah.
And so that helps me look at him, like, other dogs through the lens of him as, like, a friendly, loving dog who would only ever bite if he was, like, who knows, like, terrified, and or if you accidentally squished him or something, you know what I mean? Like, he would never hurt someone. And I know there are dogs that are more violent out there, but it reminded me that their instinct isn't usually naturally to attack, especially a human and especially their owner.
And I feel like also now too, it's like you've gone through this, that like I actually think after getting this puppy, I know it's like they only have 15 years to live or whatever, I'm not gonna think about it. I love the Sarah Silverman joke about killing your dog just to get it over with, but it's like that. When I do get a dog again, I do want to adopt again now that you're
yeah,
feeling
no,
better
once
it's like,
I've,
it's,
yeah
it's,
I think I would do that for sure, and it was just like getting back into the swing
and
of
to
it.
Get back into the story, the reason why I want to adopt is I don't want to have to go through taking a dog from its mom and hand them. So sad.
Yeah, like Greg, as we went there, I didn't realize Greg was so sad about it, and I did something right before, like we got to meet the dog, we played with them and his siblings and gave the siblings like some like a blanket to play with so he would have the scent of them. But before we left, I was like, oh Ernie, do you want to like go say goodbye to your siblings and stuff? And Greg was like, no, we have to go, man, no, let's get out of here. And I was like, oh my god, like it's fine.
I wouldn't
he
have been able to
know.
Handle it, because I was so sad that if I had to go be like, Ernie, say bye to your mom, say bye to your siblings, I'm like, the dog doesn't know. I just need to take this and run, because I'm going to be so
right.
sad. Also, remember when we were going there to pick up, because you wanted a male dog, which I didn't know why, but I...
Oh, I just have always had female dogs, so I thought it'd be cool to have a male dog.
Okay, so he wanted a male dog, and there was like two males, two females, and when she went to go get the dog for us to play to like choose one, she
yeah.
grabbed it, and we were like, oh, we love this dog so much, and then like after 5 minutes of like that initial bonding, she was like, oh, that's a
Oops.
Girl, what's wrong one? It's this one, and we were like, we love this so
one
much,
too. I know that first feeling of like, this is the one, and then
I think she
like,
felt really bad, because I think a lot of,
she was like, that's never happened before.
Yeah. I was like, I don't really care, but I think I could see other like
right
people
being like
being
you
like,
maybe attached to
yeah,
this
like,
dog that's not mine, but no, it was fine. It was literally like minutes, like less than a few
I
minutes
gave before. Ernie a pink collar because like, well, gender's a construct, but everyone just now thinks that he's a girl and he's gay, so like I don't know.
Nothing burns my bacon more than when people say being gay is not natural. Wake up, people. Nature can be hella queer, and here are just a few examples of such. Female Japanese macaws are known to mount other females and then stimulate her genitals. This is done for sexual pleasure, and the females will often be interested in mounting males too. These are sexually fluid macaws. Closely related to humans are bonobos. They are a species of great ape. Males will engage in genital-to-genital touching to reduce tension. These behaviors are done to cement social bonds. Some populations of Laysian albatross, which nest in Hawaii, have been shown to have two unrelated females rearing a chick. That is just a small sampling of gay animals. But according to a 1999 study, same-sex behavior has been documented in over 450 species of animals worldwide.
I don't know why I wanted a girl dog. There's something so cute to me about a little girl dog.
Well, but maybe one day we'll get Ernie a new best friend who's a girl.
And I'm not allowed to have opinions on like what we choose because I don't put in, like, I barely put in any
work. That's true. Like, yeah. I truly did all the work. Even when we adopted the dog, I spent months looking into the agencies and talking to them and doing interviews and stuff.
Well, this
and
even
when
debate.
We got the breeder, I spent literally months figuring out
many
how to.
Many a fight happened about that.
Yeah, because I was like, girl, help me. I'm so confused. It's so confusing to figure all that stuff out.
Yeah, and the thing is, for me, I think I can say with full confidence that if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have a pet because I never grew up with a dog, and I didn't. You are the one who were like opening that to me, and I think a lot of people can probably relate. If you didn't grow up with pets, the jump to getting a pet is a little bit bigger than people
who grew
up with a pet.
Did you? So you didn't grow up with any pets at all?
Okay, so I guess my story time is about my one pet, my hamster named Lily. I love how you're thinking that doesn't count just because it's a rodent. Wow.
I didn't
love
say
all
that.
Animals.
I just know this story, and that's why I'm pre-laughing.
What story? I have many stories about Lily. Lily was a beautiful little
okay,
hamster.
Okay, let's hear the damn story, girl.
Wait, which
Spit
story?
It out.
Which story?
Okay, you tell me. Tell me all the
well,
Lily
which
stories.
Which is the famous
she
story?
She has so much flavor to add to this world. Let's hear all your
you're
little...
being so mean to Lily.
I'm not. You're just acting like you've ever talked about Lily so often. You have one story about Lily, and I know what it is.
Okay, that's not
Spit
true.
It out.
You're probably thinking of the death story, which everyone has a death story about their pet, but I have many joyous stories. Like, I used to put my legs together with my friends and she would run up my shorts.
That's a great story.
It was so cute.
You should tell that story at parties. It's such a good story.
I used to put her in one of those little hamster balls and then she'd shit in it, and then when she'd run, it'd be like dig, 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 and you'd hear the shit,
disgusting.
And it was kind of like a maraca. That was cute. Once she took that ball and went right down the stairs, and then we opened it, and she was fine because the rodents are resilient. They're built.
You're
amazingly.
Heading towards the death story, aren't you, after you threw her down the stairs?
I didn't throw her down the stairs, but I was like,
now
oh
I know she ran away.
Oh, yeah. So she did.
She was
did
like,
disappear.
I can't live this life anymore.
We did lose Lily for 4 days into our walls, but it's like, I'm sure that was fun. Like, mice live in walls, and she looked a little like a mouse.
Was she a mouse? What's the difference between a hamster and a mouse? I guess I just know they're different animals, but like,
yeah, different.
They seem basically the same.
No, they're both rodents, but they're different species.
Okay, how come one? I guess people
they're
keep mice as
very
pets.
Different in size. Hamsters are quite substantial, and they have really interesting personalities. They're great pets.
Okay,
so no, in all seriousness, though, like, this is why also our families are different. Like, your mom, like, you know, she's already got so many things for Ernie and all this stuff. And, like, literally our hamster, Lily, disappeared and we, like, lost her. And I remember just being like, Lily's gone.
My family would have had, like, signs
like
in the neighborhood.
The walls apart.
Our house would have been torn down. Every neighbor would have, like, a pamphlet that was like, have you seen Lily?
And then, literally, days later, we have like a great family friend, also the Canada ASAP Science person we love dearly, Nona. She's my mom's like really good friend from university. She was looking after us and we were like, oh yeah, we had a hamster, but it's gone now. And then we looked over. This is 4 days later, we're watching TV and Nona's like, look, and then Lily comes out of the wall like scraggly,
oh
like she had
God.
Just like returned from like World War II. And we were like, Lily. It was like missing hair and was like limping. And I was like, oh, we found you. We love you, Lily. We were looking for
we
you.
We didn't get over
low.
You. Yeah. We haven't fully forgotten about you and got rid of all of your hamster cage. And toys
her,
and
no, the hamster cage was still there. We put her right back in. She was right back on that wheel. Oh, she recovered fast. But then she did die of diarrhea.
of diarrhea. How do you know that's what didn't something else give her diarrhea and that kills her?
She had diarrhea and then died? We were like, that's the end. And it's so funny because that's...
Wait, how did she die or did you put her to sleep?
Yeah, so she died of diarrhea and literally, like, we never went to the vet. It's a hamster, but my mom was like, I guess, like, feeling, I don't know. So we went to a vet to put her down and we paid like $300 or something and they wouldn't let us watch it. And like to this day, my mom's like, they definitely probably just threw it in the
like,
toilet.
Smacked it on the wall, probably.
Yeah, so, oh, no. Lily.
But truly, that probably happens for little things like that.
Like, they're like, we're not going to waste any of this, like, I chemical know. On this, like, euthanizing. Literal rodent that has diarrhea that, like...
It's already dying. Oh, that's really sad. I don't like thinking about that.
But anyways, that was my only pet and a couple fish, but they were belly up within weeks. I was not good at raising fish. What about you? You had so many pets.
I
what are
did.
Your story times?
Well, the only story that came to my mind that was, like, it's not to do with my own personal pet, but I think I've mentioned it once on the podcast. Like, what? I used to, like, work at a stable. I don't even like...
You wanted to be a vet.
I did want to be a vet, and hence I didn't know if animals. I wanted to be a small or a large animal. But, so, to be a vet...
I'm, like, a small vet or a large vet?
I
want to
be a large animal. I'm a large lady. No, I decided that... To be a vet, you need a lot of experience. And I didn't grow up on a farm. And so many people who go to the vet school have that experience already from birth. So I was like, I need to like go volunteer at a stable, whatever. So I would literally,
wait,
in
what?
University.
Most vets are
so
from
many,
farms?
Well, because we went to university where so many, like, not small town people, but people who are interested in working, especially on farm animals, come from farms. So they already have so much firsthand experience.
Guelph University.
Yeah, University of Guelph.
I remember, like, literally in first year at biology classes, everyone would open up their computers and, like, majority of the screen backgrounds would be like their horse.
Exactly.
Mine was
those
like,
were the people I was
Lady
competing
Gaga
with.
Or whatever.
And I was like, I've literally never met a horse.
Yeah, I was
so.
Like, you have a horse? Cool.
Yeah, and they would always have like braided hair. You'd be like, that's the horse girl for yeah. sure. The horse boy, the
but
horse
But they were
girl.
Like all horse people.
They were. And Guelph is that school. So anyway, that's why I was like, I need to get these hours in to prove that I have experience around animals. Every Saturday morning, I would wake up at 4:30 or 5.
Oh my God.
To get up to go volunteer at this stable. It was just like a family-owned stable. So there wasn't like a big operation. I would just go and be there before the sun rose. I would drive like an hour. It's so stupid.
And you were like 18.
And I wouldn't be able to go out on Friday nights because I'd be like, I have to go to the stable in the morning. And I like have always had hangovers, so I couldn't do it. I would go. I would clean up the stables, say hi to the horses, clean up their poo, clean up whatever. And sometimes I was asked to clean their smegma.
What? What's their smegma?
Their smegma
their vagina.
Is, no, a boy's dick. You take the horse dick. Because it's uncircumcised, obviously.
What? Why? Why did they not circumcise that horse?
Because they're, you know, of a certain religion where they don't do that. They have... I guess like a moldy, no, I shouldn't call it moldy. It's
what?
Like, it is like a substance. I think that.
Like a discharge?
That it discharges that's inside the
fold. I
think
fold. That might happen to humans too.
Me too.
To clean their,
but humans clean their own penises.
We're both
right?
circumcised in case you weren't.
We don't know. But yeah, so then I literally would have to stick my finger in and rub it in the
bare
foreskin.
Bare finger? This is what you were doing on Saturday morning
I
at
honestly
university?
Don't remember if it was bare finger, but I don't remember
what?
Wearing gloves. And that's how you would clean it out for them. Isn't that messed up? That's what I did Saturday morning for a year.
Did you sell it like blue cheese?
No. Oh, Greg. Oh my God, that's disgusting.
Ugh, I'm going to stop you right there. Greg Brown, Mitch Moffitt, I cannot. I am disgusted. Okay, so as a break for our listeners, I'm going to talk about the science of disgust, which is a core emotion. Unlike some emotions like joy or sadness, disgust is expressed in universally the same way. Your nose crinkles and your upper lip raises, often sticking out your tongue. Blah. This is thought to be an evolutionary mechanism to protect ourselves and communicate potentially gross dangers to one another. For example, if you see someone eating a sandwich and...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
They make that face, it lets you know right away you need to stay away from that sandwich. And feeling disgusted protects you as well. See someone vomiting? That's pretty disgusting, right? You back away. You see a rat? Ew. Really gross. Step away from the rat, you're protecting yourself from potential disease. So whether it's something creepy crawly or some bad food, or if someone coughs on you. But if you're coughing or your sister is coughing, it's not nearly as gross as if a stranger is coughing right beside you. This makes sense because your body is protecting you from potential unknown dangers. Stranger danger. It's also why we can take care of our own bodies and keep them clean and hygienic and not get too disgusted by it. A long, long time ago, I read this amazing study that women, when they're cleaning up after their babies, they literally, in a blind study test, think that their kids' shit doesn't smell as bad. So by not being as disgusted by ourselves and the ones we love, we can take care of ourselves more effectively. Something also cool about women is we have more sensitivity to disgust than men on average. This makes sense when you're considering the success rate of passing down our genes. Women who are pregnant have to be more vigilant at protecting themselves from disease because they need to protect themselves and the baby they are carrying. So maybe this is why I'm way more disgusted by what they're talking about than Greg and Mitch are. Because I'm protecting myself and my possible hypothetical one day maybe, I don't know, babies. I don't know. Being a parent is really hard. Shout out to all the parents out there. Okay, back to Greg and Mitch. They talk about this for a little bit longer, but I promise you it will be over soon. I am so sorry, but please stay with us.
Artisan butter, artisan
imagine
cheese.
Imagine I brought it back to the university. And University of
Honestly,
Guelph would eat that shit
yeah,
up.
Yeah, the way that like food trends are going, they're going to be like, there's just a little umami flavoring
little
to you taste that. That's horse magma.
Anyway, that's my experience with animals in university because I just thought I wanted to be a vet. And then I went and worked for the vet for a little while. And I was like, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I just like animals. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you just need
full circle,
a pet.
Got Ernie. Now I'm like, yeah, thank God I'm not a vet. There's way
but
too
did,
much work.
You kind of went through the vet doctor. Your mom wanted you to be a vet or a doctor. Like, I remember there was a time when you were
I always
MCAT.
Wanted to be a vet. Yeah, I was preparing for the MCAT because you have to do the MCAT to be a vet.
Oh, to be a vet.
To get into vet school. You can go, you don't even need an undergrad. If you do the MCAT and do well, you can get right in. But
well,
not
we will get
do.
Into debate because that is something that is crazy to me. Like, to go through that much school.
Yeah, it's like more school than a doctor. Not
literally, like, be like, hey, little golden retriever.
Well, think of it. You need to know more.
No way.
Humans need to know about one species. Vets need to know about so many. Anyway.
But I'm just like, I would... Yeah, once... Oh, my Lord. Anyways, we need to debate this. Because I'm
yeah,
like, I don't want to shade vets, but it's also because we're in Canada where there's public healthcare.
For humans.
Like, for humans, sorry. Obviously, I'd want to be a doctor so I can help people instead of being like, oh, that's $5,000
okay, okay. Save it. We're gonna debate. We're gonna debate this. We're gonna debate whether or not
Ernie,
pets are even worth it. We're gonna debate... Yeah, you better love Ernie because if you don't, that's the end.
And you're so...
How many times in the podcast do we say, like, this is the end of our relationship?
I know. Speaking of the end of our relationship, bring it, because I'm going to... Oh, man, I'm going to debate.
Let's end this! All right, well, see you guys in a bit.
Hello. If you are listening to this with your ears, we love you. Okay, thank you so much. And we just want to tell you a bit of a conversation that we'd love for you to have with your friends over the next coming week, okay? So your friend comes up to you and this is what they say. They say, hi, wow, you are looking amazing recently. And I don't know, I just wanted to say to you that I have a new routine and I have a lot of free time and I would love to know some podcasts to listen to because I know that you're so smart. And as your friend, I would love to pick your brain. Tell me a podcast. And then you say, Oh my gosh, funny you ask. There's this amazing podcast. It's called Side Note. It stars Greg and Mitch of ASAP Science, and they talk about a topic while them and their producer Rachel splice in science throughout so that you're entertained while simultaneously learning. And they think, wow, that's a really good idea. They download it right then. And then you say, you know what? Subscribe. Also, give it 5 stars. Also, leave a comment because it helps the algorithm. Okay. And then you guys shake hands. You hug. It's 2018. Like, come on. We're all friends here. You hug. And then you say, bye. Go listen to it right now. Okay. Thank you. Hope you wrote that down. Bye.
Greg always wins.
What?
Okay. What are we debating? Like,
what do you mean, what are we debating?
Well, there's many aspects here. Like, do you like pets? What? Yoshi over there.
I just got so scared.
If you say no, it ends now, both the podcast and our relationship. That's the stupidest thing. That you're pausing and that you're not even answering immediately. What is wrong with you?
Okay, because I'm trying to, I'm shaking in my boots. Yeah. Okay. I definitely am a human being on this planet who does not need a pet. Prior to getting one, I was way more like, what's the point? I do see a lot of love. I think it's helping me with like my vulnerability, and like I love having a dog, and the bond that I feel with this dog is amazing. But to me, it's kind of like, you know, like buying a Porsche. It's kind of like,
if Ernie could speak English, he would be so sad right now. Like, he is a
okay.
Thing
this is
that
a debate, not you just
no.
Punishing
Ernie
me.
Literally sits at home all day. I mean, he gets his walks, he does his thing, but like when we have to leave him there, all he thinks about is, I can't wait for my dads to come home.
Okay, I do not think that is true.
I can't wait for my dads to come home. That's and like, feed me and walk me and play with me. He has nothing else.
Okay, so I think that, okay, here we go. I think that that is not true. And I think that this is an issue that I have with people and their pets. You're personifying this animal so much. It's not thinking
okay,
that.
Okay, this is how
it
I
needs
know.
Food, it
okay,
needs water
I'm gonna
and
shade
attention.
Shade you. We're going to go there. You do not know. We've had Ernie for just about a month. You do not know the depth of which you're going to know and love this animal and realize that, yes, we're going to add some, like, we're going to personify him in our own way, but he will truly have his own unique personality.
That, oh, wait, you that will, is,
and
yeah.
He's a puppy, so it's still evolving, but there's going to be a point where you're like, if there were 10 golden retrievers in a room, you would be like, Ernie's this way compared to that one, which is like, he's quirky in this way and he loves doing this. Like, and he looks at me like this, like,
yeah,
I think, I'm not trying to like belittle your experience with dogs at all, but like having grown up the lives of 2 full dogs and seeing like them go through their life with you as well, like they live through everything with you, and he doesn't fully love us yet. I mean, he loves us, but I mean, he's only been with us for a month, you know, like there's
okay,
going to be a
so
point when
is...
he's been with us for 10 years and he's going to be like, you guys are literally my best friend. And we're going to be like, you're literally my best friend.
And you did. I think it is true because I do feel like I had a really strong connection with Feta. And I remember you saying recently that getting to the bottom of it a little bit when that Feta was like 2 years old.
Yeah,
and
he was
a fully like formed, and it's true.
Whereas, he could look at you in a way that was different because
yes,
he would like understand.
Yeah, and I was like, I
more.
Did understand. I'm like, okay, and that's why it was so sad for me because I honestly was like, I don't know about dog mental illness, but like he had it. His eyes would turn red and he would turn, become someone else, and then he would switch back. Whereas like with Ernie, you're right. Like because it's almost like a baby.
It's hard to connect to a baby.
Yeah,
who can't speak.
Yeah.
Who can't even really do
so then,
anything. Who all does is eat and poop and sleep. Like that's all they do.
So I guess I just mean that I think dogs are and pets are like I'm still going with my thing about them just being like a privilege.
Yeah. Well, of course. But actually, lots of people have dogs for therapy. Lots of people
I
have
dogs.
Like, even people who are homeless often have dogs because it's
so
companionship.
So what makes you feel like you need, like, what is it? What is
I'm
the main
I'm not saying
reason?
It's like a basic human necessity. It's not like water, okay? Like, yes, having a dog is a luxury, but it is also, like, to me,
but
having
you,
a, having
but
a
what
partner
about
a
dog,
is a luxury.
What about a pet? Like, you were making fun of, like, hamsters. Like,
do you
think of dogs as, like, the best, the number one pet?
I don't have a lot of experience with other pets, so...
You have a cat.
Yeah, I have a cat who is
but
fine.
You didn't grow up with that cat.
It came in... Yeah, he wasn't that old when he came to our family, maybe like a year or two, so I grew up with him, but I was older.
No, I mean,
I
how
was
old
like,
were you?
In high school.
Oh, okay.
Like maybe early high school. So I spent most of my like high school and even university, I lived near my parents. So
So you had puppies though growing up? You had a puppy?
Yeah, had puppy when I was 7 and then had another one when I was also in high school. What was the question?
Are there animals?
I'm a dog person for sure. Like even having spent time, I worked at a vet. I went and worked at that stable with horses. Like there was always something about dogs that like they definitely love humans. Like they've been bred to love humans. Other animals, like even cats, are so much more independent. They can be great. And I know all cats are different and some are like act like dogs. And it's just so funny whenever a cat's like awesome, everyone's like, that cat acts like a dog. And then you're like, oh, I love this cat because it like plays fetch and it like wants me to pet it. But some cats are like, they don't even want you to really touch them unless like they want it. Whereas a dog is like selfless. A dog like is will. Don't give me those eyes. A dog, okay, it's not selfless. It's obviously motivated by food and by whatever. But dogs have so much love to give. Honestly, there's going to be a point when Ernie's mature enough and he's just going to like, all he's going to want after he has his necessity of sleep and food and poop is he's just going to want to be near you.
The relationship between humans and dogs is so, so tender. I've talked about before how when a dog looks at you in the eyes and you look at your dog in the eyes, it releases the cuddle hormone oxytocin. But this bond has a long, long history. Thousands of years. In fact, studies show that dogs split from gray wolves about 32,000 years ago. And since then, domestic dogs' brains and digestive organs have evolved in a way that is actually really similar to our brains and organs. We have this notion that we domesticated dogs, but maybe they domesticated us. The short version of evolution in general is usually survival of the fittest, the biggest, the baddest, the strongest. But in the case of dogs, it might be survival of the friendliest. It was likely that wolves who scavenged around garbage sites of early human settlements that were bold and aggressive would be killed by humans. But the ones that were bold and friendly might have been tolerated. So that friendliness caused strange things to happen to these wolves. They started to look different. They started to look cute. Domestication gave them splotchy coats, floppy ears, and wagging tails. It also changed their psychology. Proto-dogs evolved the ability to read human gestures. Some dogs are so attuned with their owners that they can read a gesture as subtle as a change in eye direction. Dogs have also served as a warning and protection, barking at hostile strangers or protecting humans from predators. So obviously this relationship is a lot more interesting and complex than us just adopting a wolf puppy. There were clear advantages in dog ownership, which strongly affected our relationship with them and their relationship with us. So dogs might actually be a catalyst for changes in our civilization. Just one more reason why dogs are our best friends.
And I guess I do feel like...
Granted, that's been fully bred into him, so it's not like it's his choice.
Yeah, that's true. It's like it's been evolved by humans to do this. But I do feel like the way that I see a pet right now being so busy is, and it is stressful. It's certainly stressful. It's certainly expensive. It's certainly a luxury.
It's really expensive.
And it's like,
too.
Is it worth it for just when you come home and it's like so excited to see you? It does bring so much joy.
It does.
I'm like,
well,
I think that's the reason people do it.
There's literally people who have dogs just for the therapy aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because they are mental therapy. I mean, dogs obviously are also amazing and can help people who are seeing impaired. They can help recover bodies after like a building's collapse. Like they can smell people in avalanches. Like they truly are person's best
friend. I think that people do, like people around dogs is really cute. It brings out like a vulnerability in
even
people.
Walking with Ernie, like it is so nice. And I know it won't continue as much when he's older because he's so cute. Like people love puppies, but getting to walk down the street and see people, even from like 50 meters away, their faces get so like big smile, or like they scream and they're like, "Oh my god, can I please pet your puppy?" Like it's so nice. Like people don't talk to each other like that.
That
but
happens
I talk
to me
to-
all the time without a puppy. That doesn't happen either. I was like, oh my God, that guy looks... I'm like, oh, yeah, my name's Greg. My name's Greg. Yeah, nice to meet you. I know I have a friendly face.
Okay, so for the rest of us who aren't a narcissist, a puppy helps.
Defense. Different episode.
True, okay. Another episode. But yeah, no, it's just nice. Like, the dog connects me with other people. Although sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to go walk in the back alley because I do not want to see anyone right now.
Yeah, you're also like, yeah, it's interesting. I think it's a good thing for you in that case. It gets you out there. The good thing for you is it gets you out of the house, I think.
What are you trying to say? I don't get out of the house?
Oh, come on. Don't even pretend.
What's wrong with that?
No, I'm saying it helps you get out of the house. Why are you even like pretending that's not a thing?
Okay, yeah, no, I actually like dread it. I'm like,
I love going on walks. Whenever I'm like, like going on a walk, like in our relationship, it's like Mitch will be like, okay, I'll do it for you, and I'm always like, wait, a walk? Like, it's supposed to be joyous. Like, why is this so hard for you?
Because I'll be like, it'd be so fun if we like played video games together.
No, you don't even offer video games. You're just like, oh, can't we just do nothing?
Well, nothing means like sit here and chat or I'm enjoying our conversation and just chilling. Yeah, our bodies are different, okay? We've talked about how my back is literally broken. I have a different body, okay?
But I do love the dog aspect of walks. I love going for walks.
Oh, and we went like, this dog has helped me do things that I wouldn't normally do. Like, we were just at a cottage. This is not a debate anymore. I'm telling a story again. But like, I hate cold water. But if he swam in it, I swam in it. Like, I would run after him.
Mitch in a lake. Mitch,
I'm scared of
was
lakes.
So scared of, he was, because you did it, was so scared of lakes. Even the one morning where you didn't get in with him, you were in such a bad mood after. Remember, you were kind of like,
I was like,
no, because it's really helpful to jump in this nice lake. It'll wake you up. We don't have showers here. We're in the middle of the woods. And then literally every morning that you ran in with him and were motivated by him, you felt good.
Anyway, but isn't that such a beautiful thing that
no,
that dog
is.
Gave
there,
us?
Exactly. I'm not saying that pets are so beneficial to so many people. And if you know that you want a pet, I think it's a great idea. I think I'm speaking for the people who are unsure maybe. And it's like important to make sure that you know
if that's
it's
what we're
a
talking
very...
About.
Yeah, like, okay, yeah.
Let's
back
go there.
To the debate.
Like,
It can't be impulsive. It's a lot more work than you realize. And I think even you sometimes need to take ownership of the fact that when you're stressed and sad right now, a little bit's coming from the fact that your time is being really taken
for
up
sure.
by a puppy.
I would totally say to people, I mean, we have a fairly busy life, so it adds that extra level of like, complicatedness, I think, to like fit making sure he fits in that. Like, I just had to sacrifice. I get less sleep.
Well, we
now.
Are so flexible. I disagree.
You're right.
We're lucky.
Well, and I've taken some time off to be able to like grow with him and watch him. But I think that everyone should know, even as me, as somebody who loves dogs, loves being around them, like getting a dog. And I knew this the first time we adopted a dog, thinking like, it's exhausting, especially at first when you're trying to get that groove. I think from my friends who have dogs, you hear like after a year, you really get into that motion of like every day is easier at least. And like they just get you and you have your schedule and you know what life is. But at the beginning, it is like because he sleeps less. At first, they have to pee through the night. And even when he's done doing that now, but he still wakes up like an hour before I would like to wake up. And then once you're up and you can't go back to sleep. And it's just like, a lot of energy, and you're like, I just want to rest right now, but he needs to go on a walk, he wants to play, he wants to chew up all of our furniture. Like,
and he's a really good dog.
And he's like, a really good dog.
Going to puppy school, I'm like, it's like, he's
it's
definitely
a big
the chill dog. What would happen if
I
he
would
wasn't?
Say to having a puppy, and I know people have done this for sure, but for me, like, I couldn't do it on my own. I don't think, I mean, maybe I could, but in my current life circumstance, I think having to do this all on my own would be so much harder.
There's so many effing dogs, too. That's the thing. Like, now that I have a dog, I'm always aware
people,
of who has a dog. I'm like, they're everywhere.
They are. And a lot of people do neglect their dogs, not on purpose, but people have 9-to-5 jobs. Like, and dogs, my friend was saying, like, if he goes, he knows what times not to go to the dog park because there's certain times when, like, there's dog walkers that come with lots of dogs who are, like, amped up because they've been locked inside all day. And then those dogs just go crazy.
But then what do you say to people who want dogs?
I know. No, it's hard. And that's why I think we were lucky in a sense that we have a busy life, but we have a flexible life.
So then that's why my debate topic is, pets are bad.
Really?
Oh my God, this disgusting. Is really hard. Like, I'm not saying that they're bad, but I love the joy that Ernie brings me. But
I think if you're ready to sacrifice, it brings a lot of joy. Like, it's that tit for tat. You like give something up to get something. It's not just bringing something into
like
your
life. Like
a
kit for cat or dick for dog.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Wait, I didn't mean to say
what
dick.
Did you even say?
I don't even know. Kit for cat, dit for... pampster for hamster.
I thought I was saying something like so.
Tit for tat.
Well, like, you can't get something for free. You don't just get a thing that loves you. You have to sacrifice something to get it.
Certainly not free, that's for sure.
It also isn't free. But and vet bills cost a lot, just so you know. Like, you quickly realize it's a lot more expensive than you thought. So
that's why you should have been a vet. But I do feel, yeah, that the friends that I have who have dogs, there's a bonding thing I have with them now. People, even now, they're like, Greg, you have a dog. They look at me with these eyes. They're like, you get it. And I like that I have like a glimpse into this like
opens your mind.
Club of joy and club of
I think any life nice, experience like that. Like sometimes yeah. people say when you learn another language, it gives you a different perspective on life.
Yeah.
And I think a dog or a pet, dog in my case, can offer that. Doesn't mean it's necessary to appreciate and love life, but I think what our dog's going to do is going to show us like some different aspects of the world
yeah.
that we
No, it's true. And oh my God, he's just so cute.
He's so cute. Let's
like,
go play with
literally,
him.
Literally, like, yeah, when I look at him, I'm just like, oh my God, are you
he's
serious?
He's at work today. He's a working dog. Well, he's just sleeping because he's sick. But yeah, let's go play with him.
Okay.
Well, maybe we'll record some like weird doggy sounds of him.
That was like a hard debate because I like wanted to debate, but I also just kept picturing Ernie's face.
Been,
like,
it would have been different if like, we recorded this before we had Ernie, I think.
Yeah, that's true. It was hard for me.
Anyway.
But I do love Ernie, and I'm thank God he doesn't know English.
One day I'm going to teach it to him, and he's going to listen to this, and he's going to
read the book 15 Dogs. Great book.
No, it's dark. It's an amazing
book.
So
good.
So dark. Okay, go read that. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to follow us, you can follow me at Mitchell Muffet. You can follow Greg at Whale Watchman PLZ. And you can follow an account that Greg fully ignores all the time called at The Golden Ernie. He doesn't like to acknowledge that our dog has an Instagram, but I just didn't want to post a million dog photos on my Instagram. I'm not trying to be a dog influencer, okay?
Oh my God. Everything on like different episode, different
I'm like,
episode. You
by
are.
The way, Greg will like post photos of our dog and not tag our dog.
I forgot there was a dog incident.
And he won't help me post any. I was like, let's just take lots of photos.
We have so.
No, no. Okay, pause. This is one last thing debate. And everyone's going to tweet and tell us if I'm the right or Greg's the right. Should he not? I was like, the Instagram can act as like a nice little time capsule where we can look back. Just, I know we can take pictures.
Why don't we just send them to each other?
Because I have like 5,000 photos of Ernie on my phone. So it's nice to like go through them while I have them fresh and be like, this is my favorite one. I'm going to post it and put it somewhere. You're right. There is an aspect that's nice.
Why does everyone have to see it?
Because, okay, for me, it's different because I follow like mostly dog accounts. And so it brings me a lot of joy to see dogs. And I think like it'll bring a lot of people joy to see him. Like, that's all I think. Like, I enjoy looking
Whereas
at pictures
Whereas I'm like, why are we showing our poor little kid to the world?
Because he can't speak English and he doesn't know what's
yeah,
happening.
Yeah, he might be a private little boy and his little ball sack and little pee-pee's out for everyone
oh
to see.
Oh my God, I blur those. Don't worry. Okay, let us know if Greg should be helping me manage.
We don't
we're
can't
datagers.
Even manage our ASAP science account. Why?
You're right. Okay, that's
I'm always
right.
like, Mitch, I need help posting on ASAP science, and you're like, well, I got something from the Golden Doodle or what's it even?
Oh my God,
the Golden Ernie.
You even love our dog. Okay, I'm going to go.
Oh
tell
him. My
no,
God, we're back at square one.
You're not allowed to touch him anymore. He's mine.
It's funny because he likes me more. Bye.
Okay, yeah, we'll see. All right, again, thank you guys for listening. Wherever you check this out, give us a rating. We love that kind of stuff. And
we love your rating.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone says it helps, but like, I don't know. Whatever. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.